Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I want you to stop wherever you are right now and think of the most famous frog in the world. Don't worry, I am going somewhere with this. Many of you probably thought of Kermit, but perhaps some of you, especially those of you who spend a lot of time on social media or Reddit, thought first of Pepe. For those who aren't familiar, the cartoon character Pepe the Frog, in his most basic form, is an innocuous image. Pepe is an anthropomorphized froggy with a mischievous grin. Honestly, he looks a little stoned sometimes. His original character was that, a chill dude just living life. But in recent years, Pepe has become an unlikely symbol for the so-called alt-right, as the meme starring Pepe grew more violent and racist. And a group of 4chan users, usually young, white, disaffected men who have a disdain for others, began to use him as a rallying cry against, quote, normies, what they call everyday Americans, normal people. It's all escalated really quickly. And once the good, clean, fun character, he became listed as a hate symbol by the Anti-Defamation League. All of this is remarkable considering the harmless origins of Pepe, origins which are explored in a new documentary film titled Feels Good, Man. The doc tells the story of cartoonist and artist Matt Fury, who created Pepe in the early 2000s as a fun-loving character in his comic Boys Club. But as Pepe quickly became co-opted by hate mongers and then embraced by public figures like Alex Jones and even Donald Trump himself, Matt struggles to gain back control of his once innocent frog. Feels Good Man is directed by Arthur Jones and produced by Giorgio Angelini. It won the U.S. Documentary Special Jury Award for Emerging Filmmakers at the 2020 Sundance Festival. It will be available on video, on demand, and digital platforms starting tomorrow. Arthur Jones joins us. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing great. And Giorgio Angelini's here as well. Hi, Giorgio.
Hello.
So, oh, I like you already. Arthur, who is Pepe originally? When Matt first created him, what was the deal?
Sure. Pepe was one of four characters that appeared in a comic book called Boys Club that Matt Fury made in the mid-2000s. And he made the comic book while he was working at a thrift store. And his job at the thrift store was to sort through all of the discarded toys that people would donate. And the comic book Boys Club, the characters in it kind of almost look like some of these discarded toys might look like if they had come to life. They're anthropomorphic animals. So Pepe is the frog in the foursome, and then there's Land Wolf, who's a party wolf, and then there's Andy, who's like maybe a yellow Muppety kind of dog, and then Brett is like this blue kind of bear animal thing. And Pepe was just one of this foursome.
So, Giorgio, when is the first time we see Pepe make his way into becoming a meme?
I mean, pretty early on. As soon as, you know, as we go into the film, like, Matt uploads an image of Pepe onto MySpace, if we can all recall earlier innocent times. And then the meme sort of took off. It sort of grew on its own into something really more wholesome in its early days, and it wasn't really until years into its life as like a comical, lighthearted meme that it really took a turn.
So let's talk Oh, go ahead, Arthur.
I apologize. But yeah, he uploaded one page of a comic, and then there's one panel of this one page in which Pepe is saying, "Feels good, man." And that's sort of like it's both the name of our film and the inciting incident for the film. People took this one image of Pepe. In your intro, he said he sometimes looks stoned. I would argue Pepe always looks stoned. This stoned kind of looking image of Pepe saying, "Feels good, man." They took that image and they used it as a reaction image in message board culture. And that was just someone would post something random and someone would be like, "Oh, that feels good, man." And that catchphrase and that particular image of Pepe just took off. It went viral.
Well, let's take a listen to Matt Fury from the film Feels Good Man, talking about the time he started realizing Pepe was getting big online.
When I would check my email, every so often somebody would send me a link to Pepe being in some kind of weird chat room or something like that. I remember specifically, my dad sent me a link to this kid who made a Pepe song.
"Hey Pepe, I heard you pull your pants down all the way to go pee.
Could you show me?
Feels good, man."
feels good, man.
And it was like this big nerdy thing.
So, Arthur, for people who are trying to picture Matt and his vibe, I'm going to say if I had to cast the movie, I might cast Michael Cera as Matt. How would you describe Matt's vibe and how it affects his work as an artist? Because he's extremely talented as an artist and a cartoonist.
I think Michael Cera does have sort of like maybe a similar low-key affect as Matt. Matt is someone who, you know, I think if you were to ask Matt, he'd say like, hey, I'm a goofball. But then there's also a part of Matt that's very introspective. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a deep thinker. And so through the film, we sort of see his like good nature get tested in a variety of ways. But Matt as someone who, you know, I was a fan of his work and then became a friend of his, you know, we became friends taking a group hike together with friends. And that was kind of the way I came to him, as someone who just really kind of enjoyed nature. He enjoyed a good time. He really is someone who's good at living in the moment. And, there's a funny line in Feels Good Man where one of Matt's friends, who's also an artist, kind of comedically points out that maybe something like this could only happen to Matt, because Matt is such like an unassuming, good-natured person.
My guests are Arthur Jones and Giorgio Angelini. We're talking about their new documentary, Feels Good Man, about the evolution of Pepe the Frog from innocent character to something that ended up on the ADL's list of terrorist symbolism. Let's talk a little bit about how that started. Giorgio, it's sort of interesting and terrifying the way that Pepe first gets co-opted by this young, disaffected group of men on 4chan. They call themselves NEETs, which stands for Not in Education, Employment, or Trading. They're kind of beta males. What is the NEET culture about, and why did they gravitate towards Pepe?
Well, obviously it's a very complicated question to unpack, but, and the nature of 4chan, it's always very hard to tell like what is joke and what is real. But of mm-hmm. course, what's hiding behind a lot of the jokes is a lot of pain and a lot of alienation. And the transformation of Pepe really is the story of, it's a story that we're all familiar with in the longer history of white supremacy in America. Anyone who's familiar with like the work of someone like David Duke understands that white supremacists and professional racists have always tried to ingratiate themselves with popular culture. And Pepe really just became a symbol of a certain group of people's alienation. And opportunists saw Pepe as a convenient tool for which they could recruit people with.
Arthur, you interviewed one of those avid 4chan users named Mills. Let's listen to a clip of Mills that's from the documentary Feels Good Man, describing how this version of Pepe, this sad Pepe, became popular on 4chan.
On 4chan, the quote-unquote sad frog became the most popular image for displaying sadness. There were other images that would describe that feeling. You had things like a picture of Keanu Reeves sitting on a bench, but maybe he's just deep in thought. That sad frog, you knew what it was about. Nothing else needed to be said there.
Pepe, sad frog. Pepe.
Pepe, what?
The sad frog.
The sad frog?
Pepe, the sad frog.
What's that?
You know, it wasn't something that was really circulated heavily on, like, Facebook or any of that stuff at the time. Pepe just kind of felt, like, uniquely 4chan.
So, Arthur, before we start talking about how he kind of got turned into a symbolism of hate, I just want to dive into that idea of what is something that you understand better about this corner of the internet, about NEET culture and people who call normal people normies, after making this movie. What do you understand a little bit better about that and the way that they glommed onto Pepe?
Yeah, like Georgia said, this is complicated stuff. You know, things on the internet don't move in like a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what I've come to understand about NEET culture is there are a lot of people who have basically spent their entire youth culture moment extremely online, in video game chat rooms, on message boards. And this lifestyle is seductive, but also a trap for people. It is something that we also see. There's like this huge wealth disparity in America right now. So people who are Gen X, people who are millennial, don't necessarily feel like they have the same opportunities as the generations before. And you have a lot of people that are basically just choosing to eke out an existence where they basically get to live a life entirely online, whether that's playing video games or spending many hours a day on a message board like 4chan. But they would rather do that than like taking an introductory job somewhere, like working at a convenience store or working at like, you know, a loading dock or something like that. They would prefer staying at home, living in comfort, playing a video game and getting lost into the screen. And Pepe basically became a symbol for people because these message boards are mostly anonymous. People talk about their lives in great detail, but they don't show their names or they show their faces. And Pepe basically just became this symbol for emotion that people would use as an emoji where they could express all of the problems in their life. So if they're feeling good, man, there's a feeling good frog. If they feel sad, there's a sad frog. In that clip, you can hear a kid actually waking up from a surgery. He's coming out of anesthesia, and his parents are asking him how he is, and he's talking about a sad frog because he's joking around with his parents. But mm-hmm. they're confused. So Pepe just became this like elaborate in joke, you know, joke that just kept kind of evolving and shifting and changing. And as things shift and evolve on the internet, they tend to get a little bit more warped and twisted and dark. And that was happening with Pepe in these groups.
So Georgia, how did we go from this sort of avatar for emotion for some of these folks who felt like they needed Pepe to express them being sad or happy for whatever reason, to actually starting to be something that was a symbol of violence or a symbol of, let's start with bigotry first, that it really started that part of Pepe's story. When did that happen?
I mean, really around the election, right? And you're seeing it, the same kind of dynamics play out now on social media. Because what you have is a situation where social media provides politicians an incredible platform with which to, you know, talk to the masses and disseminate their message to the wide group of people. But there's also a certain corner of the internet and a certain kind of political contingency that wants to talk about certain things that social media would filter out, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to find new coded ways to signal to a certain base that you're trying to signal to without tripping these social media moderation tools. And so Pepe really becomes, in 2015 and 2016, a kind of in-group symbol to signify to people like, hey, like, trust us. We wink, wink, understand your plight, and we're with you. All these normies don't understand what you're going through, but we know it. And it's really this switch from, like, a kind of internet troll kind of symbol to then having it professionally co-opted by political provocateurs, people like Steve Bannon, who like openly talked about the idea of flooding the zone with the S word. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing that kind of play out and metastasize in ways that really got started in 2015 and 2016.
So Arthur, you know, I felt in the movie as I watched it, you feel it start to get out of control. It feels like, you know, a snowball going down a hill and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you get a sense that at first Matt doesn't quite understand how problematic this can be. Can you talk us a little bit about his sort of personal journey with this, from thinking like, oh, it's great, let's have people do what they want with Pepe, to, oh my gosh, what has happened to this thing I created?
Yeah, you know, Matt has a very complicated relationship to Pepe. You know, I think sometimes he views Pepe as this like funny thing that he did in his 20s, and he kind of wishes that Pepe would go away. And other times I think he feels like a real sense of like nurturing towards the character. You know, I think he feels like it's part of him. You know, so initially, you know, Matt only did 4 issues of Boys Club, and then he stopped doing Boys Club, and Matt makes this other, like, wild universe of artwork. And actually, we're excited to along with the movie coming out, he also has a book called Mind Viscosity that's like a coffee table art book. And so he kind of has viewed these comics as someone would view, like, you know, a teenage diary or like some poetry you made in high school or something like that, you know? Initially, when Pepe became popular online, Matt just kind of thought it was funny because it was popular in these places like fitness boards, you know? And he saw Pepe being like an internet fad that would just kind of evaporate at a certain point, you know? Like MySpace no longer is even a platform, you know? Pepe's outlasted all these platforms. You know, but when all of this was really starting to happen, you know, the stuff Giorgio was talking about in 2015, 2016, you know, Matt was just dealing with being a young father at that point. So his priority wasn't necessarily like going on to 4chan and seeing what the latest, you know, toxic version of Pepe is. He was more concerned about being a working artist, providing for his family and, you know, changing diapers, you know? So it wasn't something that like really was like in the forefront of his mind. And also, you know, I think he's an extremely like offline person. He doesn't participate in social media. And so, you know, I think he finally felt at a certain point that he, you know, when it was declared a hate symbol by the ADL, he realized that this was something he had to take seriously, that Pepe was going to be something that was going to like be part of his artistic legacy. And he needed to realize that that had to be taken care of. And so he started to do that in a variety of ways. He started to draw Pepe again, look to his artistic community to help him draw like positive versions of Pepe, which he knew was kind of a naive gesture, but he also felt it was true to himself. And then he also sought some copyright attorneys who were willing to work for free for him at WilmerHale. And they sought to enforce Pepe's copyright whenever Pepe was being used for propaganda.
The name of the film is Feels Good Man, documentary. I'm talking to its director, Arthur Jones, and producer, writer, and cinematographer, Giorgio Angelini. So this is just one of those bizarro sentences you never thought you'd say in your adult life. But Donald Trump tweeted a meme of himself as Pepe, gripping his chin with his fingers and with a malicious grin. Where does that fit into this whole story about Pepe? When you think about, when you pull back and you think about the evolution of Pepe, where does that fit in, that retweet?
Well, like I was mentioning earlier, it's a signal, right? It's like a kind of bat signal. It's a frog symbol that goes out to the masses to say that, like, I share your aggrievement. I think with a lot of the more traditional 4chan users of Pepe, they saw in Donald Trump a kind of hero, because they all share the same kind of aggrievement towards the same kind of groups. I think Arthur can probably fill
that. I also that image of the image that Donald Trump retweeted was this particular image of Pepe that people call smug Pepe, and it's basically Pepe holding his chin and sort of smugly smugly enjoying being an internet troll. Basically, you're sort of sitting back there and you're sort of denying someone their empathy and just enjoying how frustrated you've made them. So really, it was a signal to tell the trolls online that I am one of you. You know, the story of Feels Good Man is how the aesthetics and the methods of culture jamming that trolls use went from these niche message boards communities and then kind of worked their way up the social media ladder into our mainstream politics. And, you know, it's mainstream politics that have moved all across the globe at this point.
To the extent that you get to the RNC last week, where they literally don't have a party platform, right? It just becomes about pure aggrievement. And Pepe, for a certain group of people, is a symbol of that aggrievement.
And it's, you know, if people are thinking, yeah, so this is all happening online, you make you show very clearly that the idea and the ethos of Pepe makes itself present and known IRL in real life. And it gets scary because there are images of Pepe with swastikas and Pepe saying really horrific things. Can you describe how Pepe appears in real life in a few situations?
You mean in real life, online?
Yeah. In real life. Like, they are grown people dressed up as Pepe, Arthur.
Right. Well, you know, I have to say, Bringing this film out to the public was, you know, we were kind of on pins and needles when we dropped our trailer to kind of see what the public response was, because from the time we started making the film to today, like, the whole culture of Pepe has transformed quite a bit. I mean, when we, like, if you go to our TikTok page right now, you'll see a number of people who are obsessed with Pepe as a character, but it has none of the sort of hateful baggage, right? There are millions of people around the world who celebrate Pepe in its kind of pure, more original form that have no interest in, you know, promoting the kind of hateful aesthetics of 2015 and 2016. Like, the power of Matt's artwork is, like, it's kind of unfathomable. I mean, without the help of, you know, a billion-dollar company like Disney or Nickelodeon pumping a brand like, you know, Mickey Mouse on a daily basis, like, putting out content, you know, Pepe grew on its own organically. Like, Matt is just a single artist, and it was just the power of his imagery that it connected with people around the world. And, you know, at the end of the film, our resident occultist, John Michael Greer, says that Pepe is an omen, and we must listen to what he has to say. And I, you know, I think in some sense you can kind of look at that statement as a kind of wink-wink, jokey kind of interpretation, but to me I find it, like, deeply revealing about the current state in the, of the world.
And to just go to your original point about people actually dressing up like Pepe in the film, you see people dressed up as Pepe in a pretty, like, silly way, as either, like, a Halloween costume or cosplay. And then you also see some people during the 2016 moment dressed as Pepe in, like, a Trump context. Like, they have blonde hair and their face has been painted green. And, you know, that just really kind of is about the youth culture moment right now. Cosplay, all of this sort of stuff has all just kind of melted in to the zeitgeist. So, you know, these are also now elements of our politics, memes, people dressing up. It's the way that people really are forming allegiances now. And the power that memes have within politics and coalition building is that they really allow people to participate in a movement rather than being like a passive supporter of a candidate. If you were someone dressing up as Pepe or you were someone making Pepe memes, you're activating yourself to now be part of the campaign, and you're actually sort of hoping that, you know, someone like Donald Trump will notice you and maybe have you go viral within his Twitter feed or something like that. It's a way that people really kind of develop a personal, emotional attachment to a candidate because they feel as though they're, like, right there on the ground participating.
I don't want to give away...
If they make a pardon me. I was going to say, but if they make a meme that, for example, the president retweets, then they're, like, really part of the campaign. It sort of has a net effect of democratizing politics.
I don't want to give away the end of the film, so we'll leave people there. We'll leave it there. Giorgio Angelini and Arthur Jones, the name of their film is Feels Good Man, available on demand and on digital platforms starting on September 4th. Thanks, you guys, for being with us.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.